Tim Gee research what were the strategies and tactics that have contributed to the success or failures of prominent movements for change in the past 300 years. In his book, aptly titled Counterpower, he maintains that the same issues tend to appear in most campaigns, but that it is possible to learn from past errors. He gives the example of the April 6 movement in Egypt, leaders of which attended a seminar led by Sergej Popovic, whom some credit for the successful campaign in 2000, which brought down Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic.
Sergej Popovic was very influenced by the work of Gene Sharp, a scholar of the dynamics of nonviolent social change, going all the way back through those Eastern European revolutions. He was a student of the civil rights movement, and of course, back to Gandhi. The central insight of Gandhi is that oppressive forces cannot rule without the consent of the oppressed.
And so civil disobedience and nonviolent protests are an article of faith of the Occupy movement. The strategy, Tim Gee says, is to undermine the foundations of power, which he compares to an edifice supported by three pillars. There is the pillar of ideas.
Steve Biko argued that the most powerful weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. But it's not just mind control, there's also the power of money. Every regime needs a flow of land, of labour, of capital, so that they can continue to pay people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And most of the time, that's what states use to maintain their power, their economic power and their idea power. But there is, of course, a third pillar, that central pillar, which is the power of physical force.
Strong movements organise what Tim Gee calls a counterpower, the success of which is measured by its ability to erode more than a single pillar of power through direct action. When this happens, the rulers will offer concessions, which most often signal the end of the campaign.
If by eroding the power of elites we can get them to give away concessions, then how far is it possible to erode the power of elites so that something completely different could be put in its place? What we can say is that maintaining these counter-institutions will hold elites to account when they crumble and when new elites take over.
But for the Occupy movement, which defines itself as revolutionary, this realization may be the ultimate challenge. Tim Gee favors establishing a lasting counterpower force in society, which some older activists may liken to the idea of permanent revolution outlined by Leon Trotsky nearly a century ago, to better address the new tactics of the capitalist system.
Naomi Klein and her book The Shock Doctrine shows how corporate elites can use shocks of wars and earthquakes and economic crises to consolidate power. And I think that's what's happening now. These coming years are going to be a time when we can look to the campaigns of the past and learn how we might use some of those old tactics and build on them in order to use the shocks that are coming to redistribute power from the few to the many.
And perhaps what Tim Gee is saying is that the Occupy movement identifies more with a philosophy or a worldview, and this is why it has refused to limit itself to a set of political demands. For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.